You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
The sustainable food company is Aotearoa's first ever zero waste catering business. It's run by Amy Klitcher, who has been dismayed by the degree of waste since her first part-time hospo jobs when she was a teenager. Amy studied environmental management at university and learnt about sustainable eating with leaders in the movement across the Pacific. She joined me this morning and I spoke to her about access to knowledge about the history of food production. I started with the logistics of zero waste catering and I asked Amy how the sustainable food company prepares and transports their product.
Well, we start by sourcing ingredients as zero waste as possible. So more often than not, that means working directly with local suppliers to pick up their ingredients in our own reusable containers, which is really cool. We get a few herbs and spices and a few sort of dried goods from bulk bin stores, and we get a lot of fresh produce from either local farmers or local farmers market. And then it comes into the kitchen, and in the kitchen we also use no waste at all, so we use reusable silicon mats instead of baking paper and tinfoil in the oven. We use a lot of reusable Tupperwares and reusable containers instead of Glad wrap. And in terms of food waste and organic waste, any food scraps we do have, we just pop straight into the compost bin and then pop that back on the garden when it's ready.
How do you mitigate the challenges of a zero waste task while you're being mobile? Because obviously reusable packaging, that's easy for all of us if we have it right there at home. How do you make it work when you're on the go and on the road?
Kind of just like lots of reusable containers, really.
Okay, cool. And now something else that you guys have is a thing called Personal Sustainable Chef.
I like to use this as a way to sort of, A, show people how delicious plant-based food can be. Like, it can be so delicious and satisfying. And also, B, just kind of try and make the connection with people that what you eat can truly be good for you and the planet. And so in terms of plant-based, you know, you've got animal agriculture that contributes harmful gases towards air pollution and versus plants can clean the air. You've got animal agriculture, which can weaken and deplete the soil, which travels down our rivers, lakes and streams, and ultimately to our oceans. And plants can replenish the soil. And then I also, the main reason I think plants are really awesome is because plants require less land and less water than animals. They're just kind of like an overall more efficient use of resources. And with the growing population, we really need to focus on how we can more efficiently feed up our global population to ensure that future generations have got the same beautiful environment that we've all been really lucky to live in.
Yeah, most definitely.
I reckon it makes the food taste better. Like yes, you're eating good food and it's just delicious, but then there's this little part of you in the background that's like, oh, I just made a choice to eat plant-based, and I know that's better for the environment and it's better for me. So you kind of get this little warm fuzzies and it makes it double delicious.
Something that definitely also helps sort of make food taste better if it's plant-based is eating seasonally, which I noticed on the website you guys are into. Do you want to talk a bit about the importance of in-season produce? How do you guys incorporate the importance of eating seasonally?
Yeah, so seasonally is a cool one in a few different ways. On one hand, you've got produce that is just how nature intended. You know, it's like perfectly ripened according to the environment. You let nature do its thing, and it's got more nutrients because it's usually fresh and it's from the local area, hasn't travelled miles and miles. It's cheaper because there's an abundance of it when it's in season. And yeah, it means that you're supporting local as well. We change our platters a little bit to go with the season. And same with our private chef menu, actually. We do that too. So at the moment, you've got lots of citrus and oranges and limes and lemon.
One other thing I noticed is that this year, in between January and July of 2020, 1,683 pieces of plastic have been diverted from landfill through your work at Sustainable Food Co. It's real good to talk about the numbers of diversion because it helps you to sort of understand exactly what you're achieving. Do you reckon that's sort of something that we should be highlighting more as more zero waste endeavours come about so that we sort of stay aware of the value of it?
Absolutely, yeah, because it can be really easy just to sort of think sometimes, oh, it's just one piece here and there, oh, it's just one piece. But really, like, when you add all those one little individual pieces all together with a whole bunch of different people or from a whole catering company or something like that, it really can add up. And to see those stats in number form, you can sort of start to visualise, well, like, this little simple habit that we're changing every day this makes a big difference.
I myself only recently started learning about the fact that the advent of plastic in our country is a product of colonization. And so I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about where the lessons came for you in terms of learning how unsustainable our mainstream models of food production are.
I mean, I've worked in cafes and restaurants and bars and things before uni for about 8 years, just off and on. And that was sort of the first sort of eye-opener I had as to, holy moly, like, this is just one cafe I'm working at, just one morning of waste.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think about all the cafes in that community versus all the cafes and restaurants in the country, and it's just like, holy macaroni.
But I
understand it from the perspective that plastic is really efficient to make, it's lightweight, it's durable, it's waterproof, that sort of thing, it's airtight. But I think that the quantities that and the rapid increase in quantities that society has been needing to use, it's just not getting managed properly, and all this plastic is just going to landfill, and it's almost just become this habit, this cycle. It's just like the common, normal thing to do. So I went to university and I studied environmental management, and then I worked for environmental charity in Auckland for a few years, and we did a lot of beach cleanups through that work, and that was again just kind of like a whew, like this is not only just ending up so many landfills, but it's ending up in our oceans, and it's affecting wildlife, and it's affecting our beautiful beaches that we've all had so many good memories on. So yeah, I just really wanted to kind of not put an end to it, obviously that'd be the dream, but just contribute to changing people's behaviours and opening their eyes into this common habit that's going on that can totally be changed with just a few simple habits.
Yeah, and hopefully governmental legislation starts to follow suit a bit more soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Ko te waia, tēnei mā, Runga BFM. You can find out more about Amy's Zero Waste Catering Business at thesustainablefoodco.co.nz. We'll be back after the break. Here's Brooke Candy with Triple XTC.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.